everything's going well, when we really kind of do know what tomorrow holds, when we know what our health is going to be like, when we know whether we're going to have a paycheck. And, you know, it's really nice to sing those songs and think about those things. But it's times like these where you really have to put into practice exactly what the Word of God has said. You know, Paul says, I glory in tribulations also, because tribulations worketh patience. It makes me wait on the Lord. It makes me see what he's going to do. By the way, those who wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. I glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, puts by patience work, but patience, experience. You see God work in amazing ways, and experience hope, because God's faithful. And we see what God can do. And hope maketh not ashamed. We can stand, and one of these days we'll be able to look back and say, the Lord has brought me through those difficult times. Trust in the name of the Lord. Years ago, I had some difficulty going through college, and not that my grades were bad, but that we lost my job, wasn't sure where our next paycheck was going to come through. I decided then that I'm not going to trust what man can do, but I'm going to trust what the Lord can do. And there were some folks I could have called to help me out financially. But I decided if I was going to ever stand behind a pulpit and be able to tell the people that my God shall supply all their need according to his riches and glory, I needed to be one who lived that. Not everyone has a daddy that could write out a check that would provide all their needs, but they all can have our Heavenly Father. And the Lord provided in miraculous ways, unimaginable ways, and always paid his bills on time. And I want to encourage you during these crazy times, the Lord can provide and care for us. And I also want to say, you can give us a call and let us know if there's some needs we can help you with, and call the church. It's 717-292-5000. But remember, your first resource in time of trouble is the Lord God himself. And I want to encourage you to stay on your knees. Pray for one another. We have some folks in the hospital. One of our deacons, Darren, is in the hospital, and some other things. And there's some things that we have one of our other ladies are in the hospital, not necessarily with the virus, but with other things. And you pray for one another. Look out for one another. Check in on one another and make sure we're all kind. That's part of being the body of Christ. Well, I thank you for being here. And I really want to be of comfort to our folks. And however, before I can do that, we need to make sure that we are in position that we can have the comfort of the Lord. Otherwise, we become comfortable in our sin. And so there's some things I want us to see. In the Word of God this morning, Psalm 85, if you will. Psalm 85. We will end our message with this. We really won't spend most of our time in this passage. But I want you to see where we're going, where this passage has come from. In the book of the Psalms, Psalm 85, verse number 1, it says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. The Lord has, by the way, there's going to be a great parallel between what we see here and our nation. The Lord has been very favorable to America. The United States of America have seen God's blessing in miraculous ways. And since he's brought back the captivity, they came to America for freedom. Freedom of religion. Freedom to worship. Freedom to live. The freedom to seek and pursue happiness, if you will. To have the freedom. That's one. I mean, America and freedom almost inseparable. It says, Lord has been favorable unto the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob.
Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sin. And the fact is, America has had known for many years that it's the Lord God who forgives sin. Many of our founding fathers give testimony in their personal writings of salvation in Christ, knowing that they have been forgiven. And only by the blood of Christ is the remission of sin. Verse 3, thou hast taken away all thy wrath, and thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine wrath. Now look at verse number 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Now things were going well. But he says, apparently there's an issue here between verse number 3 and verse number 4. He says, now I want you to turn us back to you. The prayer is, Lord, turn us back to you. Verse 5, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? This is not necessarily a happy time at the moment. And people are kind of wondering what in the world the Lord's trying to do. And he said, we want to be back into the rejoicing side here. He said, revive us again. Make us alive again. He says, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant thy salvation. When I've counseled with folks many times, I've talked about things when people have made decisions that have caused difficulties in their lives. And, you know, they want the Lord to come in and fix it. The fact is, I've had to say many times, all right, all we can do at this point now is to throw ourselves at the mercy of God. We've messed up. And God has said that there's certain consequences that we turn our back and rebel and do what we want. We're not going to see His blessing, we're going to see the curse, the lack of His blessing. So what do? We throw ourselves at the mercy of our God. We admit our sin, repent of it, turn our back on the sin, and turn our face toward God and ask for His mercy. Verse number 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. God wants to do some great things. He wants to care for us. He wants to heal our land. And we'll talk about that in a few moments here. But he says, we got to be making some decisions. We're not going to go back to the folly, to the mess, to the rebellion, to the silly things where we trust everything but Him. Verse 9, surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him. So many people want to say, oh yes, His salvation is nigh. He's near us. He's with us. And we forget that next phrase. To them that fear Him. That glory may dwell in our land. Verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps. I want to pray this morning, and I'm going to bring a message that I've entitled, It's Our Turn. We can turn our face toward God, or we can turn our face away from God. We need to decide. Listen, I know you want comfort. I want to give you comfort. But I want to promise you comfort according to the way that the Word of God works. And if we're going to see God work in our lives, we've got to do it according to His ways, His righteousness. So it's our turn. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truths that You give us. Now, Lord, I ask that You give Your power here this morning. I want to comfort our people, and I am grateful that if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But to say we have no sin, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. To say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the Word is not in us. So Lord, I pray that You help us to see ourselves for who we are, but also see God for who He is. Fear Him and yet know that He is a merciful God when we come to Him in repentance. Lord, help our nation, help our people. Give us strength. Give us your wisdom. Give us truth. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Is this the end times? You know, a lot of people will say that. In fact, I had someone just recently say, well, all this is going on. This must be the end times. Well, is it the end times or is it just one of those times? I think we need to be careful not to shrug off all of these events shrug them off as if they're just the last days, as if we cannot do anything about, well, it's the last days, things get bad, it's just going to happen, we'll just sit here and wait until the Lord comes. Well, it appears that many people are somewhat perplexed about the events that are currently consuming our thoughts and our energy. We have the tendency to think that we live in America and things like this do not happen in America. I mean, there's a lot of folks that when they saw, first of all, this coronavirus, they said, well, it's over in China and it's over in that place in Europe, it's over here, it's over there. And I think a lot of folks felt like, well, it won't come to America. Well, it won't be here. Well, why not? Some think we're immune to things like this because we live in America. Things like that don't happen in America. These are kind of things that happen in the third world countries. However, some folks in leadership in America believe that we should be doing things as they do in other parts of the world. And one of the things that made America great was that it was a God-fearing nation, unlike much of the rest of the world. And the Lord blessed and protected our nation differently than He did the rest of the world. You cannot deny it when you go back and look through history. And if we behave like the rest of the world, the Lord is going to treat us like the rest of the world. Often he told his people, Israel, he says, I'm going to give you the promised land. But don't behave and run your life like the people that I drove out. I drove them out of the land because of the way they were. Now don't go in and learn their ways and do the exact same thing. I expect to live there and enjoy the rest that I want to give you. And the fact is, this has been a God-blessed land. There's really no other way to explain it. But we have no more blessing than the rest of the world if we're going to live like the rest of the world. We will have no more immunity to the terrors of life than the rest of the world. The Lord will not hedge about us any more than He does the rest of the world. The calamities that befall the rest of the world will befall us as well. Much like the children of Israel, America has claimed to be God's people. And in many ways, we have been a light of Christ to the nations of the world. However, we have allowed our light to be dimmed by the filth of our lives. We have become bold and brazen in our determination to live in sin. Many in our nation seem to hold the belief that the biggest sin is to call sin a sin. We cannot name the name of Christ and then live in sin as if it is a light thing. The Lord is not going to allow folks to drag His name through the mud. We are to be bringing glory to God and not shame and disgrace. Now, there are some principles of living in God's economy. And those principles transcend all time. For many years, though America was far from perfect, there was a certain fear of God. And that fear of God dictated, to a certain extent, the actions of the people of our nation. The world knew our fear of God. Some nations even hated us for our fear of God, knowing that God's hand of blessing would be on our nation. However, the fear of God in our nation has appeared to wane. The transgression of the wicked tells my heart there is no fear of God before their eyes, Psalm 36 tells us. We cannot live in sin and get away with it. The Lord's testimony is at stake. We have gone so far as to legislate sins and legitimize corruption and abominations and even murder of the newborn. There is a spiritual battle in the legislative and the judicial halls of our nation. We are, as Ephesians 6:12 says, not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Ahabs and the Jezebels of these days are doing all they can to defeat the righteousness of Christ. I was just recently in our nation's capital for several days and speaking, having connection with the senators and the representatives, and it's amazing what's going on down there. But there are people who stand for Christ that are trying to lift up the name of Christ, to stand on the Word of God, to stand for truth, and to move legislation in that direction. But there is a corporate effort in the opposition that literally want to do everything, go against everything this nation was built on, and will ruin our nation if we're not careful. Now, I understand that the Lord is gracious and the Lord is merciful, but He will not allow us to flaunt His name and drag it through the mud with our abominations forever. The Lord is not going to condone sinfulness, especially when we put His name on it. The Lord has promised both blessing for obedience and cursing for disobedience. Both are undeniable promises. A couple times my dad, as a young boy, he would say, "Now you better straighten up, or this is going to be the consequence, I promise you." We like promises. We like the promises that makes everything's going to be wonderful. Promise He'll take us out for ice cream if we're good, and promise these things. But listen, there are some promises. Just as God promises His blessing for righteousness, He promises His cursing for unrighteousness. Now, in times of great distress, the people of God have always gone back to the Word of God to discern the nature of the times and determine what to do to get right with the Lord. I think we need to do the same thing this morning. I understand this is a lengthy passage of Scripture that I'm going to work with you. But what we need today is not a word from Sterling Walsh. What you need is a word from the Lord God. Our theme this year is, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." We need to go back to the Word of God. It could be, and you want to use a double meaning of this word perish, it could be that we are going to see some loved ones perish because we as a nation do not have the Word of God being lived out in our own lives. What we need to do is to go to the source of truth and hear what the Lord God has to say on this matter. You can be turning your Bible to Deuteronomy 28, if you will. We're going to spend some time in that passage and walk through. There's an awful lot there. Let me give you number one. Number one is a question I want to ask. Why have we been blessed? We live in a blessed nation. Why have we been blessed? That's the first thought I want you to think about. Why have we been blessed? Because we are Americans? No. Because of our ingenuity? No. Because we're good people? Well, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth righteously. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why have we been blessed? Because we are people of determination and willpower, and you hear that. We'll get through this because of our determination, our versatility. We're unflappable. We have to be careful that our trust is not in man and in our strength and in our willpower. We've been blessed because we've been blessed by God. Listen, some people say, "Well, why have we been blessed?" Because of our indomitable spirit? Or God just likes us better? Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. that in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now listen to me. That in every nation he that feareth him and thus worketh righteousness, living according to his word, is accepted with him. No, the Lord has blessed our nation in the past because as a nation, we feared God. Our founding fathers give testimony to their belief and faith in the principles that and especially the principle, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1, let's walk through some passages here. Of course, this is the second giving of the law. God is speaking to his people. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. He says, here's how you're going to enjoy the promised land. Or here's how you're not going to enjoy the promised land. Same thing goes here. Here's how we can enjoy America that we've known. Or not enjoy a new America that's not as blessed. Verse number 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, look at it, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. He says, it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently, if you're going to listen closely, he says, now listen closely to what I'm about to say. Don't miss a thing. Don't shrug it off. Don't look at your watch and say, well, I hope this is all over in a few moments. God says, listen to what I'm saying. You want the blessing. Here's how it's going to work. He says, I want you to hearken, listen diligently. Catch every word, every thought, every expression that God is going to give us. Why? So that we observe to do all his commands. To make sure, to watch ourselves. To watch ourselves and make sure we actually do what he told us to do. Not just think about it. Not just talk about it. Not talk about the way the things used to be. Oh, how wonderful it was. Don't talk about the things of the past. Right now, in this moment, we've got to live according to God's word. And he says, if we will do that, the Lord God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And my question was, why have we been blessed? Listen, he said, God will make us the greatest nation on the earth if we will hearken diligently so we can observe to do what he's told us to do. He said, I'll make, and by the way, God is no respecter of persons, but of every nation, he that feareth him, work of the righteous. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so the fact is, he's saying this will happen. So I think this is a promise that America has claimed and America has enjoyed and America will lose if we don't continue to hearken diligently to keep his commands. Not saying, well, things have changed. Well, we're now in the 21st century. Well, we got to come up with the times. I don't want to be with the times. God is eternal. The first, the last, the beginning, the end. He is for all time. Nothing has changed. God will make us the greatest nation on earth. Listen, God has made America the greatest nation on this earth. Everybody knows it. Why in the world are they stumbling over themselves to get into that? They're trying to get in with any hook, line, and sinker. You know, any way, you know, crook or shook. They're trying to get in our country. They want to be here. Why? Because this is the greatest, even with all the problems we have, is the greatest nation on earth. Greatest nation I really think the world's ever known. And God has blessed them. God has in a remarkable, miraculous way brought this nation to pass. And what President Trump is doing is helping in some peripheral ways, but really, if we truly want to make America great again, America must become godly again and fear the Lord. Now, we can get, again, some peripheral things was fine and doing some things. And by the way, he has, I think, in some ways more fear of God than almost many of the men who've held that office many years. He may not have the couth that a lot of them do, but the fact is, he decided he's going to bless Israel. You can say what you want, but God says he's going to bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse him. No one else had the gumption to recognize Jerusalem as the nation's capital for Israel. He decided we're going to stand with Israel, whether anybody else likes it or not. He has decided, his platform is abortion is wrong. Should be avoided if at all possible. There's something there to be said. I've seen him stand and say that this place, this world was created by the Lord God. There's a lot of things going on, but there's a certain fear. But we need to take it further than that. The individuals of our nation, whether the president is saved or not, the individual of our nation need to know Christ as their Savior. And we need to live in fear of God. Those who know him as Savior may not be living in fear of him. They've got their salvation, their home in heaven secure, and now they're just kind of trying to appease the rest of the world. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He says, listen, I will make thee high above all the nations if you will fear me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Listen, good just seems to happen to America. Well, at least it used to. Why was that? Because America feared God. Blessed, verse 3, shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. When you hear that, I can't help but think about that song. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. And we ask for God to bless America. But why should God bless America if we're not willing to fear America? He says that we will hearken diligently to him. Business will be good, and we will be well provided for. Look at verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. In other words, we will always have enough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. That means business will be good. And the fact is, we can go in and out, even make war if necessary. God will bless us. We will be undefeatable in protecting our nation from foreign wars. Look at verse 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Nations in all over the world still see America as the land of opportunity. Look at verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. When we make God special in our lives, God will make us special in his blessing. Look at verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee in an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, not just say, give a nod of assent to it, but walk in his ways. Listen, be a doer of his word, not just a hearer of his word. Stand for truth. You don't be mean about it. You don't be nasty about it. But you can say we're not moving from truth. Now, if you want to buck us, you're looking for a battle. We're not here to attack, but we will defend the truth. Are you willing to defend truth? Verse 10, and while all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Nobody wants to stir up America. We still have that. If we don't turn around and loose it, we better make sure we... You know, by the way, it's our turn. It's our turn to turn toward him. We shall be the richest nation in the world. He said, look at verse 11. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. That is America past. We haven't lost it all yet. Now, I understand he's talking to Israel, and America didn't replace Israel, and the church doesn't replace Israel. But the principle is, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and he is no respecter of persons. That in every nation that fear him shall be blessed. That's a promise. And our founding fathers took that promise. And we have seen that promise fulfilled. And if we're not careful, we will give it all away. The leader of the United States is considered the leader of the free world. Look at verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee, the nation, the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. And that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Make your head. There is really no other explanation for the rise of the United States and this world dominance than this. Bunch of ragtag army. Some of them didn't have shoes, fighting the greatest power in the nation at the time during a revolution. There was no reason for America to rise to greatness, but it did. And not only did it rise to greatness, but it became the leader of the free world almost immediately. If we are going to behave like the world, though, those who do not care about the things of God, we are not going to be we are going to be treated just like those who do not care about God. We will no longer be the head of the free world. You're just one of the others, just fighting to stay alive. So how do we stay in the good graces of God? Look at verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Well, we don't set up idols and gods. No, what is it that you trust to provide for you, to protect you, to give you your philosophy in life? What is it that you look to as your provision? If it's anything other than the Lord God, we're in trouble. If you were here, if you listened in on the Sunday school hour, you saw that in the life of Asa. As long as he sought God, he did well. And the Lord, by the way, the Lord is looking to and fro to see whom he may show himself strong toward. The old King Asa, though he had been blessed and blessed because he had always gone to God first, decided to go to the world first and lost that blessing. We need to stop playing with truth. We need to stop making the Bible say what we want it to say. We need to go back to the Word of God like it was originally, not make it say, not change the genders of it, not take verses out of it, not to make it suit our little pet beliefs and philosophies. We need to stop justifying sins. He says, turn not to the left or turn to the right. We got to stay right where the Bible is. We want his blessing. Anything less than right on, diligently hearkening to him, is less than the blessing that he can give us. We want the full blessing. Stay as close to the middle of the road, right where he wants us to be. Just because our feelings will be hurt when someone tells us sin is wrong, doesn't mean that the Lord accepts our sin. We got to have a backbone. We got to do what the Lord says us to do. We flagrantly throw around words like pray and blessed by God as if he is some kind of genie that we rub the right way will be to our beck and call. Spending time down there in Washington, D.C. here last few weeks, We were told that one of the reasons President Trump has been able to do what he has is because he has simply followed through with some principles and some promises. If you've listened, maybe you've heard it. Again, I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm just telling you that there's somebody in the office that's willing to do what he thinks is right. Whether he's always right or not, that's not the case. But they said he's not a politician. He said he doesn't know how to be a politician. He's an entrepreneur. And so he'll say, I ran on this particular promise. And so he starts to do it. He says, and people complain because he doesn't listen to his counselors. And the counselor says, well, if you do thus and so, that's going to make this special interest group upset. Or you're going to cause this riot. Or you're going to cause this problem. Or these people are going to be mad at you. And you're going to have these people against you. And this is what other people have said that he has said. He has two questions. He said, did I promise it? And is it the right thing to do? If I promised it and it's the right thing to do, this is what our president's saying. He says, well, then that's what we're going to do. I don't know who they are. Doesn't matter who they are. If I promise this and it's the right thing to do, then that's what we're going to do. And by the way, that's how we ought to live our life. If God promised it and it's the right thing to do, then that's what we ought to do. So how did we get the blessing of God? By hearkening diligently to his word. It doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we always got it right. But our heart was to try to do right because we feared God. Number two, why are we in this mess? Why are we in this mess? Look at verse 15. This is where we're headed to. If we don't hearken diligently, this is what we're headed to. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, I've read a little comment right here. This is not optional. This is a promise. This promise is just as true as a promise that of the blessing if we hearken diligently. And Lord keeps his promises. The Lord wants the whole world to trust him as Savior. If he doesn't keep his promises, no one's going to believe what his word says. It will fall on deaf ears. He has to. He must keep his word. He'll keep his word and promises of blessing, but will keep his word and his promises of cursing. This is a clear statement. It's a promise, if you will. This is what we have seen occur in other nations around the world that follow the beliefs of the world. And what's he say? Verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. That's out in the country. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. No, we will not always have what we need. Walk into the grocery store this very day, and most of the shelves, many of the shelves are empty. People are all of a sudden, within a matter of a week, have gone thinking everything's fine, don't have to worry about anything, to gone into a panic. Because their trust are in the things of this world and not in the Lord God. If the trust in the Lord God, then what we do in a time like this is not to run to the supermarket, it's to fall on our knees, to make sure that we are right with him, that we're doing what he called us to do, to pray for our nation's leaders to do right by the Lord God, to win others to Christ, to turn them to the word of God. Verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. In other words, our children will go bad. Have we seen it? Well, it's just the generation we live in now. That's the way kids are these days. That's right. That's the way kids are these days, a lot of them. But they don't have to be. And many are not those who have been brought up with the word of God. Now, I'm not talking about just bringing them into church and shove them in the door and entertain them, expect that for it to magically, to, for righteousness to just kind of come on them. And we've got to teach them to fear God, to live righteously, to teach them the Word of God, not what we want them to hear. Many times we don't teach the Word of God because we don't like what it says about us. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, then do right so you don't have to be a hypocrite. Verse 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. In other words, we'll no longer prosper in our daily business like we used to. No longer be the dominant world power. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, means confusion, uproar, tumult, riots, destruction. We've seen that. And reproof. The Lord will be teaching us a lesson, and he is. And all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do unto that, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now watch me. We're in the midst of something right now we never thought would happen. Look at verse 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave to thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. Now, my wife and I were talking, you know, there were SARS came through and MRSA and all kinds of things that have come through, and there was a few thousand here and a few thousand here. This one's bigger than ever. It really is. And it's more on our shores than ever before. Why? He's been trying to get our attention. He promises pestilence, disease that destroys, that kills. That's a promise. Now, he promises to protect us from those kind of things when we're living in fear of God. And he promises that pestilence will come when we live in disobedience to him and not fear him. Now, is this the end of the world and it's going to consume the whole nation? Personally, I don't think so. Oh, then it's okay. We'll just live through it and get on the other side. Oh, no, 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 no. He's trying to get our attention. He was gracious. He's been merciful. He said, well, good people died. Yeah. If bad people died, you wouldn't care. I have some pastor friends of mine who have been diagnosed with this virus. I'm hoping that they'll live. And I'm hoping it just will be used to get the people of God's attention. What we are in right now, I think, is fair warning of what the Lord can do. And we had better give the Lord our full attention. Hearken diligently. America is being treated in this pandemic much the same as every other nation in the world. Why? Because the Lord is hardly any more our God than he is the God of any other nation in the world. And if we're going to worship the same gods as the rest of the world, we are just then just part of the rest of the world. And God is no respecter of people. In his mercy and his grace, the Lord has blessed the United States almost as if we were his people. But we're throwing that away. God's no respecter of people. In that, even the Israelites, which he said, if you don't turn to me, these are the things that will happen. In fact, he says, you will be our byword, and everybody will look and say, whatever happened to Israel? Well, they turned their back on God. Could it be, and is he giving us fair warning, that one day people will say, whatever happened to the United States of America? And in hindsight, they will say, they turned their back on the Lord God. We are going to be cast out just as he cast out all other nations. Verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. That's kind of a lack of daily needs and nourishment. There won't be enough food to go around. And with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. If we let it go that far. The normal blessings that come from God that we take for granted and are not thankful for, nor fear the Lord over, will stop. Look at verse 23. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust from heaven shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. We will no longer be the world-leading power, verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into the kingdom of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Diseases that seem to take other nations will come to our shores. Look at verse 27. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, neurotic behavior, and blindness, and astonishment of heart, panic attacks. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Now, we're not there yet, but we're getting forewarned. Life in America will just be just as wretched as it is in other nations. Look at verse 30. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. In other words, our homes and our families will be torn apart. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from thee. You could say it this way, carjackings. Right in front of you. That's exactly what it means. Right before thy face, and thou shalt not be restored to thee, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue him. Muggings, home invasions, rampant crimes, and broad daylight. Sounds like the evening news. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no night, no might in thine hand. Your children will be taken by the world, and you will not be able to do anything about it. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, and thou shalt see. In other words, it will cause a world panic. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot, from the top of thy hand, the Lord head. And the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. There shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. In other words, if we're going to live like the world, God's going to give us the world. And then one of these days, everyone is going to say, whatever happened to America? Whatever happened to the United States? Look at verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, where the Lord shall lead thee. In other words, whatever happened to America? The blessings that we have enjoyed were not luck. They were the result of a nation that was blessed as it feared God. Look at verse 38. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. We're going to work harder and see less for our labors. Verse 39, thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. They shall go into captivity. We are lost into the world. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above the very high, and thou shalt come down very low. And thou shalt lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him, and shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Look at verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments, his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. God has given us so much. And all we need to do is be grateful and look to him in gratitude and obey the law of God. And all this will continue. Most times what we do is we complain about the law of the Lord. We complain about his standard. We complain about what we can't do. And we're going to lose everything that we have. Verse 48, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemy which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord is trying to get the attention of the world. Don't ask if the world is paying attention. Are you paying attention? We need to run to the Lord and not away from the Lord. If we want to come back to the situation like that, we must come back and make the Lord our God. For the Lord is to be our God, then we must obey our Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Listen, if the Lord is our God, then we can claim the promises. Promises 46, we read, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46 says. In times like these, many people ask, where is God? The answer is, he's right where he's always been. The question is, where are you? Are you with God? Verse 2 in Psalm 46 says, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters there roar in trouble, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, though all the world seems to be falling apart, God is still God. Yes, there is comfort in a time like this. What I have said sounds terrible, but the fact is, God has not gone away. It is us who have turned from him. It is our turn to turn. In Psalm 85, where we've begun, it says, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Now, what's our response? You've heard it before, and I'm going to give it to you again. You know why you've heard it before? Because it's always true and God's faithful. 2 Chronicles 7:11 through 15. Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for in a house of sacrifice. Look at verse 13. 2 Chronicles 7:13. We don't see this one very often. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land. And by the way, we've seen all kinds of natural disasters going on these days. Look, watch now. Or if I send pestilence among my people. If there's a disease that we cannot control that's killing our people. Verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And we heard about in Sunday school, you got to seek his face. You got to seek with your whole heart, with a perfect heart. Not that we're perfect, but with all that we are, complete heart. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. When the Bible says, Turn us, O Lord. It's really saying, get our attention, God. If that's what it takes, if we won't turn ourselves, turn us. Get our attention, Lord. There's been people all over this nation asking the Lord to bring revival, to turn the hearts of the people toward Him. You may not like this, but what we've seen may be an answer to that prayer. We don't have to come to this point. We don't have to go to rock bottom before we turn to the Lord. We can turn and stay with Him and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, consistently. But if this is what it takes to turn our nation back to Him, He will do so if it saves us from total destruction. You go read through the Bible time after time after time where God has had to bring great destruction so as not to lose the nation entirely. Do you think this is the end of the world? No, I don't. Could it be? It could be, but I don't think it is. But is God trying to get our attention? He says so. We just read it. He will send pestilence to get our attention, to turn back to Him. But if He sends the pestilence, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I think the Lord wants us to be all the more serious about giving out the good news of the gospel. We cannot live in sin and be blessed by the Lord. And if we're not blessed by the Lord, we are at the mercy of the wicked wiles of the world. And I don't really need to do much preaching. The Word of God has clearly stated the Lord's position in these things here. It is clear the Lord can stave off pestilence if He so chooses. The Lord will also use it to get our attention. This does not give us the right to be unkind or hurtful to those that we see that are sinning. We are all sinners. We are to offer salvation to them which can make us a new creation in Christ. We must give out the vision, or we could all perish. It's our turn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting with us here this morning. These are solemn days. I would love to have given a different message. And yet, Lord, this is a message of hope because you've shown us where the problem is. The problem is with our sin. And we need to turn to you individually, each one of us. I cannot turn to God for anybody else. I can encourage them to do so. I can live righteously as much as I can. I can be an example and a testimony. But I cannot turn for someone else. Or we can give out the gospel. In these trying times, hearts are being turned toward God because that's what you do. Lord, help us to make good use of this. You opened the window for us to be able to give out the gospel and do some things more freely here the last few years. And we may only have a few more months or we may have a few more years yet. But Lord, we had better make use of this if we want our nation to be saved. We want our families, our children saved. If we want to be happy and not perish. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your mercy and for your grace. And for the promises that if your people, which are called by your name, not drag your name through the mud, but will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked way, that you'll hear from heaven and will heal our land. Lord, be one here that is listening that has not received Christ as their Savior. I pray that they'll come to know Christ as their Savior. Trust Jesus' death on the cross as full payment for their sin. And of course, they can call them and contact them. We'll be glad to help them through that time. Lord, may we make holy vows to live for you, to be who we need to be, to bring others to Christ. And may we see God's hand on our nation once again. And we can gladly say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Solemn words, but the true words. Didn't make it up. It's all right there in front of you in the Word of God. Take it to heart. We will be back tonight again at 6 o'clock. I want you to be back with us, and we'll have an encouraging message, I'm sure, and it'll be a blessing to you. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock right here. And again, if you need to get contacted, you can through the website or call the church. We'll do all that we can to be a blessing to you. God bless you for being here. And we'll give you, we will be praying for you and yours until we see you again. Bye-bye.